Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's read our scriptures today. We read them last week, but we're going to read them from two different translations. Let's go. Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? And I asked him, are you the expected one, the Messiah, or should we look for someone else who will be the promised one? Have you been expecting something? Really expecting something? And last week, George shared about his expectations being cut off. Me, I want to share about my expectations being met. I remember when we were having our first child, we were expecting. And our expectation was huge. And let me tell you, I was so excited because most of my adult life, all I wanted to be was a father. That's all I wanted to be, was a father. And when my wife said we are pregnant, and man, we started waiting, that expectation grew month after month. And for those of you who've had children, you know there's a point that reaches where now your expectation is about to burst because you can hardly wait for this child. You start imagining how your life will be when this child comes. You start imagining, you know, what kind of things you will do with them. What kind of parent you will be. You start buying things that you don't really need. You remember your first child? Baby monitors, and you stay in a one-bedroom house. Why? Even the neighbors hear when the child is crying. Why do you need a baby monitor? We bought those, you know, munyonyis, different flavors. And the baby just spat all of them out. You're looking at the child. This was expensive. This flew in. This wasn't gotten at the shop next door. You remember those big trolleys that you got for that one small child and it couldn't fit in your boot? Yeah, you remember how you're trying to make sure that it fits in the trunk of your car and you can't fit it, so you can't go anywhere with it. It's just for the estate. And you wanted to show all your friends, look at us now. Baby number one. But because of that expectation, you prepared yourself. You didn't just say, let him come the way he's coming. We will know what the baby will wear. We will know what the baby will be wrapped in. You prepared. So when you're expecting something, you also need to be preparing to receive what you're expecting. But I know we're in a season and in a time where our expectations have been damaged. And most of us, if we are truthful, we are not expecting anything to happen. That's why you're not preparing for it. I had a friend who was so expectant for a car. She would drive in into her car lot without a car and honk. Beep, beep. The house help will look out and think, what's wrong with this person? And she'll be like, open the gate, both gates. Because she was expecting, anytime now, God is going to bless me, and I want to get used to driving in with both gates open. They were expecting the Messiah. Expecting the Messiah. Through the ages, many waited for the Messiah, expecting him to come and save them. Many have asked, questioned, and speculated who will he be, how he would come, and what he would do. Even John himself in these scriptures asked, are you the one? Are you the one? Should we expect another? This month, we have and will be continuing to answer this question. Who is the Messiah? Who is this that they were expecting? Last week, we discovered in such a wonderful way through Brother George. Wasn't that a message and a half, man? Come on, give it up for Brother George. And we discovered in such a wonderful way that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of his people as the Messiah. He was the fulfillment. He was prophesied. He proved to be the one. He told John, go tell John, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the dead are being raised. Give him the facts. I am who I am, the Messiah. And it was miraculous how everything happened. So today, let's keep seeking to find out who this Messiah is. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. It's interesting here to note that when this prophecy was foretold, they were in the midst of war. They were in the midst of darkness, gloom, and despair. And Isaiah speaks up and tells them, for unto us a child is born. Someone is coming who would deliver us. And it wasn't just any child. It was an important child. And you could be asking yourself, at that point in the midst of that trouble, what will a child do to save us? But he wasn't just speaking of any child. He was speaking of the Messiah. The context of this scripture is clear. It says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. And I want to tell you, your darkness is not going to go forever. Some of you didn't hear me. Morning is coming. Morning is coming. He says, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. And Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 4. He said, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. I want to tell you that light is shining bright today because of this Messiah that we are talking about. That's why it's important for us to know that this season is not just about celebrating a child's birth, but the Savior of the world who would destroy the darkness that was plaguing the earth with his marvelous light. We are celebrating a king. We are celebrating the majesty of all majesty. You guys remember that song? Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am. But man, we are celebrating the Savior. From Isaiah 9:6, we can see the three things were declared: his birth, his characteristic, and his mission. But the main question these people had in the midst of their turmoil wasn't his birth, wasn't even about the mission. All they wanted to know, tell us about this government. And do you know what God chooses to tell them about this government? He says, this is how you'll know the government. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Look at that progression. He will be the governor who is wise, strong, caring, and full of peace. Isaiah 52:6 tells us, now my people will know my name. When that day comes, they will know that I am the one who says, here I am. Here I am. They will know him by his name. You know, in the Hebrew, to be called and to be is the same thing. There is no differentiation. In Hebrew, what you are called is what you are to be. That's why, parents, some of you need to rethink the names we are giving our children. Some of you watch Tondos Mias, Alejandros, and you've given your children names that you do not know the meaning. I wondered, why did my mother name me Kevin? I was like, no one knows even, it's not even biblical. Kevin, and then I found out we were 3,500 Kevins in Nairobi Lighthouse Church. By the time I came to this church, everyone was Kevo. Thank you, Jesus, for making me Pastor Kevo. So meaning I'm the only pastor, but makevo tuko wengi. My brother was called Faustin. And on top of that, he was called Faustin. And my brother was like, you can't give me another name. Do you know in the playground, pronouncing Faustin is torture for a child. Postin. Austin. One person called him Pogostina. You're asking your mother, where was that name going to make me be? That's why Jabez pleaded with the Lord. Bless me! So that I might not cause pain. A name describes who you're going to be. So God announced in advance who he shall be. He reveals his character. The Messiah came to be all that we need. That's what he revealed, that the Messiah is going to be all. So today we are going to understand what he is, first and foremost, by reminding ourselves what he's not. So we all understand that the Messiah is sovereign, yes? Sovereign means he's a supreme ruler, possessing supreme or ultimate power. But what he's not is human. And you might be like, He's not just human or a mere man. We limit him by our experiences. We limit him by how we approach him from a human standpoint. Yes, he became flesh, but the Bible tells us that we beheld the glory of the Son of God. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is sovereign. He's a ruler. So when we talk about number one, wonderful counselor, he is not your regular therapist. That word wonderful means supernatural. It means miraculous. It means supreme. It means above all. He's not just a therapist who you sit on your couch and yes, what's going on today? Doctor, it's been a tough week. He's not a therapist. He's not listening to you from the limits of a human mind or perspective. He's wonderful. He's not just suggesting some different things to try and see if they work. Let's meet next week and see how things go. Start here and let's see how things go. And we'll get back and review. That's not who he is. The Bible says this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom and effectual working. He's wonderful in wisdom, excellent in his effectual working. He's not a mere person. He has supernatural abilities. We are often tempted to approach him as a counselor. Just a counselor. Like we would a human counselor. So even our attitude in his counsel becomes reserved. It becomes reserved. Can I just help you? This wonderful counselor knows everything before you stepped into his presence and began to talk to him. You're here trying to hide stuff. Because you're approaching him just like a mere counselor. Trying to give him your river of life. Hey, I've been trained. I know these things. Trying to tell him, okay, let me tell you, Lord, where we started. The Bible says he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. He's a wonderful counselor. So even how you approach him should be different. Not just like a mere counselor. His wisdom and his perspective of our situation is unlimited. And it's ultimate. It's unlimited. Do you know God can go so many ways with your situation? And the results will be wow. You know, some of us, why we don't seek his counsel? Because sometimes he says some stuff that don't make sense. Have you ever been in that position where God says some stuff that don't make sense? And you're just like, I don't get this counsel, I don't see it. He says, unless a seed falls down and dies, it abideth alone. But if it falls and dies, it will bear much fruit. So Lord, what are you saying? You want me to die? Yes. To self. You want me to let go of that relationship? Yes. And then if he goes and gets someone else, what will happen to me? What if another person shoots their shot and they get him? You know how old I am? 25. The Lord is looking at you. Relax. Hush, little lady. Hush, little man. I know what I'm doing. I know what I am doing. Let me tell you, there is no counsel he cannot give us. No, none. Every area of your life, he's got you. Anything you want to talk about, finances, he's got you. Government, he's got you. Mental health, he's got you. Education, he's got you. Marital issues, he's got you. Relational issues, he's got you. Even kings had the wisdom to be like, hey, before we go, you remember when the king of Judah told the other king, he told him, is there a prophet? Before we go, is there a prophet? Let's first inquire of the Lord before we go. God's counsel can never be improved by us. We have no business telling God what is wise. Have you ever found yourself telling him how things will go? I have found myself telling God, this is the plan. Listen up, God. Me, the way I see it, Nani has money. Just touch his heart. Touch his heart. Let him come this Sunday, knowing that I'm coming to be blessed. Can I confess something? Those are days I was believing that. Then I see this couple coming and I'm like, hallelujah. My wife is here and she'll make you laugh. Even her, she saw and she was like, hallelujah. The blessing is coming. And they're like, we just want you to pray. Man. He's a wonderful counsel. He's a mighty God. Even though he was flesh, he was still God. He was still mighty. He was still strong. He was still able. You know, I remember when my son was young and I told him, Jesus is the strongest. He was like, no. Why did he have to be helped to carry the cross? Hey, that's like, hey, Abu, let me. Ati, he's not the strongest. Yes, why was he helped to carry this cross? If he's the strongest, angebeba umsala. You know the song? Na kila mutu hata uchukua muziko wake mwenyewe. He's not the strongest and you're there trying to... No, don't be mistaken. He was still strong. He's not weak. He's not intimidated by your situation. He's not afraid of the enemy, army. He's not even afraid of our government. He's not afraid of our president. He's not afraid of our governors. He's not afraid of your boss. He's a mighty God. Whatever you're facing today, he's not unable to do it. He's more than able. The Bible tells us, he tells us, he is the sole expression of the glory of God. He's the sole expression of the glory of God. The light being, the outraying of radiance or radiance of the divine. He's the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. He's a strong God. He holds everything together. But for some reason, sometimes we approach him, his might, his eternal power, as if those aspects of him are just human. in their makeup. As if he's limited, as we are. As if his power can only go so far. Or just like a man, he cannot do this much. I tell you, he's a mighty God. Mary, looking to Jesus, told him, if you are here, if only you are here, my brother would have lived. Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection and life. I am. I just don't do the healing stuff only. I can do more. I can do more. That's why I coined the phrase, and I preached this a while back. Even now, even more. Even now, even more. He's a mighty God. Pastor Don reminded us during our commissioning service, he said, when they came to arrest him, he asked them, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And these mighty soldiers coming to arrest this man fell on the ground just by the mention of his name. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Thirdly, he's our everlasting Father. He's our everlasting Father. That word everlasting Father, sometimes people are like, he's the Son and yet he's the Father. But the correct translation is the Father of eternity. He's the firstborn of those to rise. He's our everlasting Father, but he's a good Father. He's not an absentee Father. He told his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans in John 14. I will not leave you as orphans. He's not disconnected where he's somewhere off taking care of the world and your little issues. He's not there to come and take care of them. He's not disconnected. He's not uncaring. In fact, it's the opposite. Everlasting Father, when you study it, speaks about his care for you. Hebrews speaks, tells us he's like a father who cares for his children. He's not too busy to hear you. The Bible tells us he never sleeps. No slumbers. At any moment, you can call him up. You can call him up. You'll never find with him mteja wa nambari apatikane kwa sasa. Ama ngojea kidogo akona mteja mwingine. He's not limited. Sometimes our earthly fathers can be limited. And sometimes we have great fathers. I don't refuse. I have two great fathers. Pastor Don and my earthly father. Great men of God who've raised me up able, but they're limited. So I'm not just speaking on just the negative side of things, but they're human. But him, he's everlasting. He's an everlasting God. I remember my dad told me he'll buy me a bicycle. We went and tested the bicycle. Remember Cycle Land? We sat on the bicycle and I was like, it's coming. Never came. But I have another father whose budget is not limited in any form of shape. Fourthly and lastly, he's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. He's not temporary. He's not carnal. His peace is not like the one of the world where you have to get stuff. You know, the one of the world is all about getting stuff. Now, when you get this, you'll find peace. When you do this, you will find peace. When you sleep around, you will find peace. When you drink that alcohol, you will find peace. I remember one gentleman saying, me, I drink until that switch comes on. You know that switch that just gives you calm and rest? And I'm like, yep, but in the morning, the switch goes back. And headaches, stomach aches, and regrets. And you go like, what? I will never again, do this again. That's what the world does. It's carnal. It's not real peace. It's fickle. It's here and gone tomorrow. His peace is not unsatisfying. Let me tell you, it's the opposite. It's very satisfying. It's not unsettling. Because Pastor John told us that this peace will guard, it will garrison your life. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of our peace. He's in charge of peace. Not based on the outside pacification of our lives, trying to, okay, Baba, okay, Mama, Pole, Pole. No, His is deeper than that. His goes farther than that. He's the only purchaser and procurer of peace between God and men, and between men and men, between Jews and Gentiles, and of the peace of our conscience, and who leaves peace as His legacy to His disciples. So I finish how I began. When these scriptures were written, they were in turmoil. They were in darkness. They were in a tough place. And I just sense it right now in this service. You're in a dark place. Your expectation has been hit. And to be truthful, it's like you're no longer expecting. You don't see Him as a mighty God. You don't recognize how strong and able He is. That even that situation, even though it's far gone, God has a way of bringing it back. I love the centurion man and how he recognized Jesus and His deity and told Him, don't even come. Just send your word only. The Bible says Jesus was marveled at the audacity of this man to just say, send your word only. Some of you, you cry out, kuja na usitumane. This brother says, usikuje, tumana tu. He's a mighty God. And I don't know where you are. And I don't know what these situations have made you seem as not. I want to tell you, He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And He's the Prince of Peace. I want to pray this over your life today. The Bible says that the government shall be upon His shoulders. He's the one who rules and He's the one who reigns over your life. So today I speak and declare that all the negative things, all that the enemy has tried to rob you of and told you that He's not, today you'll see Him as the Messiah that He is. Father, may You touch our hearts today. May You encourage us. Renew our minds to see You in the light that You're in. May we understand that in the midst of our darkness, light has come. Father, I pray that You release us with Your strength today to keep on holding on for that promise to come to pass, because it shall come to pass. We give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, let's give Jesus a mighty hand clap of praise.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.